A little later in the evening, I took a stroll along Number 1 Quay in the direction of our depot ship, Leander. Glancing upwards towards her quarterdeck, I noticed her Number 1 staring rather hard in my direction, and next moment I was hailed with the words, "Hi, Snotty. What are you doing alive? I've got you down on the casualty list." It turned out that my transfer to Sandfly had never reached official ears, and the fact I had not been reported amongst Vehement's survivors had been taken as presumptive evidence that I had been lost at the time of the explosion. So it came about that my name was removed from the casualty list sent to Admiralty, though I learnt later it had already appeared in the first list circulated in the Grand Fleet. A hushed and subdued atmosphere lay over the flotilla that evening. As night closed in, accounts of the events on board each of the two sunken ships filtered through to the wardrooms from survivors. The tale unfolded was as follows. In Vehement, the captain had joined his Number 1 on the open navigating platform. The ship, which was fifth in the line, must have yawed slightly from her course for her to strike the mine, unless the wash of her next ahead had carried it towards her. Her captain, the youngest officer in command of a V-class destroyer, was standing close to the bridge screen, watching the luminous green patch of weight set up by the ship immediately ahead when the explosion occurred. At his next conscious moment, he found himself in the sea, badly bruised, some distance from the ship, but, by inflating a life-saving jacket which he was wearing, managed to keep himself afloat and even succeeded in saving one of his crew, who he supported until a boat came to their rescue. He was picked up at a spot a quarter of a mile from where Vehement lay drifting, and was taken on board Vanuk, where it was stated he promptly tried to go up on the bridge under the impression that he was back on his own ship. His action in rescuing one of his own crew, while badly hurt, was recognised some weeks later when the Royal Humane Society awarded him its medal for saving life at sea. Vehement Number 1 was less fortunate than his skipper, for the full force of the explosion hurled him over the high foremost funnel so that he fell on the upper deck, fracturing his skull. Despite the surgeon probationer's valiant effort in Trephane, Number 1 died shortly afterwards. In contrast to his ill fortune was the experience of the junior sub. The latter had his cabinet forward under the wheelhouse, and it was customary for him to be called shortly before midnight when he was due to take the middle watch. On this occasion, he was called a few minutes earlier than usual and decided to double aft to the wardroom for a cup of cocoa before going on the bridge. He had just passed the after funnel when the explosion occurred, wrecking the whole of the bridge superstructure behind him, and he thus escaped unhurt. The command of Vehement, after she had blown up forward, devolved to the senior sub, who had to see to the safety of the ship and her crew and make arrangements to have her taken in tow by the stern. This he did, but later had to abandon her under the conditions described previously, and finally see her sunk in order to prevent her own capture and the endangerment of the rest of the flotilla. In all, one officer and 61 of her crew lost their lives that night. Thinking about them, I remembered, in particular, the coxswain, who had, unknown to the captain, let me steer her up the Humber on my one trip in her a fortnight before. In Ariel, the force of the explosion was still greater, almost severing the ship at a point abaft the foremast. The only officers aft at the time she struck were the gunners, the engineer and surgeon probationer, and the first of these had to make hurried preparations to save such of the crew who had survived, as there was no chance of keeping the ship afloat for more than a very short time. Most of the ship's boats had been destroyed, and the men were eventually accommodated in rafts and Carley floats. The gunner was well aware of the necessity of paddling the rafts well clear of the ship before she sank, for he knew that the depth charges in the chutes would detonate on submerging, and that such an explosion would hurl rafts and floats high out of the water unless they were well clear of the danger zone, and would kill any men in the water nearby. The explosion came, but by that time all the men were in a position of safety.